Hey, everybody, this is Andy Clodfilter.
And this is Lisa Monahan.
And you're listening to...
Nineties Court.
Did it, dop, dop, did it, dort. You're listening to Nineties Court.
Hey. My word, young man.
We need to find some actual words to fill those blanks, and maybe we can do it rather than beedeep bop bop badidi dort.
No, I feel like the 90s were all about scatting. I mean, you're bringing it back to, what was it?
I'm a scat man. Skiddity bop
bop bop bop. No, the acapella group from Carmen Sandiego that we crapped on. You loved them. What were they called?
I don't remember.
It doesn't matter.
That's really bad.
Go back and listen to the old Recess episode. Yeah, listen to
that episode. It was great when we talked about Carmen Sandiego and I think Echo the Dolphin.
Which was the two most random
collection of things.
Such as the 90s. How are you, Andy? Currently, okay. How are you?
All right, so here's the thing, gang. Lisa knows this full well and wants me to say this. I discovered, somebody told me there was this thing called, that Prairie Farms makes called chocolate custard, and it's like a drink kind of like in the same kind of little quart that you would get like eggnog in, and it's very similar to eggnog in many ways. So I thought, you know what, I had a get together with some friends and everything like that. I'm going to bring two of those. One of them is for everybody, and then one of them is for me. And it wasn't until I was halfway done just pounding it that I realized I read the side of it. And there was about 1,530 calories in a quart of that thing. And I ended up drinking the whole fucking thing. And I want to die. I told Lisa when I got home, she's like, are you ready? I was like, I think I'm going to throw up in the bathroom. So that's how I've been living my life.
Yeah.
What have you been up to this week?
So many weather changes in Texas. And then, like I was telling you, I was at a women's retreat all weekend from Thursday until this morning. And I am fully womaned out. And I want to, like, sit in the bathtub for the next 6 days with, so like, empowered. Cucumber slices on my eyes. Yeah,
she's definitely. Gonna go fight somebody. So
I'm going to fight club the shit out of somebody.
She's going to start a women's fight club. And it's going to be so good. So I had some other cool things that happened this week that we go over. So Lisa and I had one shared thing this week earlier on was, after the last episode, when we joked about there being an episode of Coffin Cast, involving Finiskill, we each recorded a little bit for our friend Kristen. I don't know if you're going to do it or not. But if she does, it'll be super exciting. We each did kind of a little bit for, basically the case of the murder of Finiskill. So if that comes out soon, you'll obviously be alerted of it on all social media, because we'd be very excited to get involved with that.
It's just a little funny thing. I recorded mine with this headset in the pickup line to pick up my kid from kindergarten. Like, I was like, all the kids are napping. When my husband works from home, I'm going to head out and do some weird shit in the van. So I just pulled some stuff out of my ass. It was really fun.
And then while Lisa was on her escape from reality, my good friend Haley from Misery Loves Garlic Bread is like one of the people that, like, one of the podcasters we met first and I was friends with very long on the Twitter. And so she was starting a new, like, side podcast on her same stream for Misery Loves Garlic Bread. And it's like an interviewing show or whatever. So, and by interview, that's a real light term. It's basically just her and a friend, basically, and somebody else just talking bullshit for an hour, which is what we did, and it was a blast. So, I mean, we talked a little bit about 90s core, so it was a very podcast-heavy week, and then yesterday, I went to this big charity event, which was super awesome, by the way. Toys R Us is a great podcast that I listen to literally every week just because I really enjoy it, and they do such a good job. A charity event where we brought, everybody brought toys, as well as money, you know, to donate to the various charities. I did win a gift basket.
Oh.
So everybody, I'm sure, was on hands and knees to find out, did Andy win anything at this? Yes, I did.
What were the gifts?
So amongst them, there was like a bunch of random stuff, but the ones that I wanted, there was a Sega Genesis Mini.
You didn't.
It was the piece to resist. I'm going to use that word twice in 2 weeks. But it was the good thing that I wanted. So I bought 24 tickets, and I put 22 of them in the bag to try and win the Sega Genesis Mini. And I put two of them in this other thing to win this big basket of like snacks and stuff for movies and everything. And of course I won that, and I did not win the Sega Genesis.
Shit.
So
shit.
I was real bummed.
But you
real
got
bummed
snacks.
About it. I did. I got hella snacks, so
yeah.
But yeah, just I got to meet Rick and Brian over there, the two co-hosts of that show, and that was super fun. I never got to meet podcasters before, so that's a cool way to spend a Saturday.
Look in the mirror, you can meet one every day.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, okay, me. I thought you were talking about like looking in the mirror. I'm like, is Lisa in the mirror?
Yeah, it's one of those like, I don't know what you call them, but the
Candyman
fake ones.
Style.
Candyman style? Whichever one is like
mind.
You're at the police interrogation room.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah.
You think it's you. It me.
It it's
me.
Just her. Just staring back at me.
Yep.
So yeah, so no, it's been a good week, and I actually have a little bit of an announcement to make for some of our fans out there who may or may not have entered a certain contest. We talked about it last week, and we talked about it constantly on social media. So I, being the nerd I am, figured out how many people had entered the contest and rolled a dice that would appropriately fit that number, because there's different dice if you play, say, role-playing games, you would know that.
Yes.
And so I rolled that dice and rolled a number, and it was on the list of people, and I rolled a one. And the reason I mention that is because the person who entered the first person to enter by leaving a review and rating is the person who won, which I think is super cool because they took the initiative and they got the goods. So Afton Kennedy, a good friend of ours. So she was a fan of our old show. My Marianne and I are good at this and a show of this. I've never met her in person, but I just know that she's a big fan of the show and always like follows it around. So super excited that somebody who is a big fan was able to win. So congratulations. We'll be hitting you up. I'm going to let this simmer for a little bit, so that way hopefully she'll hear it on the podcast.
Oh, you're not going to announce tomorrow?
No, I'm going, but I mean, if she doesn't hear within like 24 hours, I will then like message her, but I want to see if she hears it, because I think it'd be more exciting to hear it live on the podcast, not knowing that your name's about to be shouted out. So
yeah, I will say the first couple times like Kristen mentioned my name, because I would like throw her an idea on CoffinCast, and I'd hear her talk about me, I'd be like, oh, that's
yeah.
me. That's,
you're like, oh my gosh, I'm famous.
Yeah.
So, so anyways, this is awkward. So guys, we have court cases here at 90s Court.
Hell yeah.
And it's not a surprise what it's going to be. We just decided what was going to be ahead of time. We thought about it long and hard because our minion is dead.
Yeah.
I'm going to still bemoan it every time. But anyway, so needless to say, something just came across my desk.
I missed it. All week long, I needed that. I needed that so bad, Andy. There.
Yes. So, Lisa, why don't you tell them what we got going on this week?
Just a couple of minor songs you may have heard of. You may have tattooed the lyrics of on your lower ankle somewhere. We have...
Same. Yep.
Same. Yeah. We have Ace of Bases, The Sign, up against No Doubt, Don't Speak. Kind of two powerhouses from the 90s. Two amazing singles. And Andy... I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, my goodness.
Age Before Beauty? Is that wrong?
You're older than me by 4 days.
Okay. Andy's before Lisa's. I don't know.
Andy's before Lisa's, as always. Let's just do it alphabetical. How does that sound?
For today,
alphabetical order. Thank you, Lisa, for allowing me to take over first and explain to everyone why Ace of Bases, The Sign, is not only... better than No Doubt's the song that you said that I've already forgotten.
Don't speak. Yeah.
See, they have a lot of songs, and so it's which one? Just a Girl, or like no.
I would cover Just a Girl, but we're doing. I think these two are more appropriately.
That's the powerhouse.
Matched.
Yeah, I think that's the matching one.
Yeah.
So Ace of Base, listen.
What
when
up?
You think, like, here's the thing, when you think of, like, with when I do, when almost anyone does, if I said, hey, name a cliche song from the 90s, like, not in a bad way cliche, like, what is a song that you think of that is a classically 90s song? And Ace of Base is The Sign, is one that I always think of, and I've had multiple people, because obviously I've asked this question to so many people.
Yeah. Just go up to the bar. Hey, you. What song reminds you? What is the quintessential 90s song? Like, the bartender's like, get out of my face.
Get out of here. Order something or leave, please. Yeah. But no, this is one of those songs that, like, it was on the radio all the time. And I believe my older, again, I never owned many CDs, but my brothers did. And this is the thing, is like, this is a weird, like, considering how, like, hardcore, like, my brothers were, at least with rock music and stuff like that, the fact that they had Ace of Base was pretty spectacular. So, I mean, that's saying a lot, mm-hmm. is whenever, like, the hardened exteriors of those men that I call my brothers were able to break down and buy Ace of Base as the sign, because they knew. So, first off, so The Sign was a single on the self-titled album The Sign in the United States. Outside of the United States, it was called Happy Nation, because why the fuck not? What a strange just like divergence. Like, one of the songs, there's not even a song called Happy Nation on the album. They're just like, Happy Nation.
Oh, they're saying that the album was called Happy Nation? Or
yeah,
the song?
Album.
Oh.
The album, yes.
Okay.
It'd be a very weird name for the song, though.
That's what
it
I thought you were
implying.
And I was like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Oh,
but...
sorry. No, just the album.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha.
So, The Sign. Just to go over some of its, like, creds. It received in Europe. It was an international hit, reaching number 2 in the United Kingdom. And then, more importantly, spending 6 non-consecutive weeks at number 1 on Billboard Hot 100 chart in the United States. And most importantly, the biggest thing, it became the top song, the number 1 song on Billboard's 1994 year-end chart. So, like, for the entire year of 1994, it owned the night. So, like, like Twister's coming out, Forrest Gump's coming out, and stuff like that, and Ace of Base is fucking launching an attack on your earbuds and just out for blood.
Yeah.
So the song itself, I mean, it's just like, it's kind of a weird composition, and I think it's because it's very memorable, because it's the description I've seen of it is called techno reggae. Here, let me read this. It says, it's been described as a techno reggae confection with a killer chorus, which seems pretty fitting. And just to go over a little bit of the actual song itself, for those of you who might not remember, but let's face it, you do if you're listening to the show.
Of course.
You absolutely do. I got a new life. You would hardly recognize me. I'm so glad. How can I put? I can't sing the song into the beat. I'm sorry. And then there's the chorus, which is, I saw the sign. It opened up my eyes. I saw the sign. Life is demanding without understanding. And I just told Lisa beforehand that I, before this moment of reading the lyrics, thought that it said, life is demanding, rhythms understanding.
Of course.
It's one of those things where you hear that and you say it because you just kind of fill in the blanks of words you can't quite understand.
Yeah.
It's not that you like firmly thought like rhythms understanding makes sense. But here we are. So this song is actually a song about basically like a relationship and kind of deciding of whether this is like worth continuing with. And so I'm not sure. I'm guessing it's probably something from one of the creators of the song, their own personal experience that came forward with that. Of course, they had a big music video, which it's a little weird. Here's the thing. This was not an American band.
Yeah.
So they're from Sweden, which is super weird to think of the Swedish band. Like, I just have always thought it's crazy how bands in like non-English speaking countries, like as like the main language.
Yeah.
Making things in English. Like there's a lot of bands nowadays that do it, and it's kind of like, you're like, okay, well, I mean, I get it. It's like, well, you know, we can make stuff for the Swedish, you know, and everything like that. But, like, it's not going to be as big of a deal, you know, here. Like, trying to bust it into that scene. And there's no way that they, like, wrote the whole song, like, in Swedish or whatever. And then like, converted it into English, because the song wouldn't fit anymore. You know, like, there's no way the same meaning of the words would convert like that. But yeah, so to talk a little bit of Ace of Base, I mean, like, the band itself, it pretty much, I'm reading through this history of them. They had a long history. Like, they apparently currently still exist. Like, they've had different people drop out and come back in and everything like that. They did disband, had a hiatus from 2003 to 2006.
Okay.
But it's one of those things where, like, you're like, oh, you mean they made The Sign? Like, the album, The Sign, and then that was it? You know, and, but I mean, good for them. I'm glad that they're still, you know, doing a good job and continuing, you know, moving forward with more albums.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so on this album too, there was All That She Wants.
That was a good track.
Yeah.
Which I would say is better than The Sign if I had to put those two up against each other. I don't know why.
Well, there's no penalty for being wrong, so we'll let you. All that she wants is another baby. She's gone tomorrow.
Is it literal? I wonder if the lyrics to that are literal. Like, does she just want another
child? All that she wants is another baby.
She just wants another baby.
She's just like, I just really have been thinking about having a third kid, but I'm not sure.
I feel like the time is right. I feel like this is it.
So here comes the part where we diverge a little bit from the normal part where we just kind of had fun loving stuff. You know about it?
Yeah, Jack talks about it every single time.
Anyone
says Ace of Base.
So here's the thing. So I went to that charity event yesterday, and I told Rick asked what we were doing for the episode this week from Toys for Us, and I said, you know, I told him the two songs, and he said it was a really, really good choice because he's like, that's a tough one for me. They both are super good songs. Mm-hmm. And then he said, you need to talk about the Nazi thing.
Yep.
And I said, the Nazi. I said, the Nazi thing. And he said, yeah. And he said, yeah. So he told me briefly just like that I need to look it up. So I looked it up and I'm like, holy shit. So reading up on this, basically the person who started the band, the founding member of Ace of Base, whose name is Ulf Gunnar Ekberg.
Cool.
Also known as Buddha.
Sure.
He was found out to be, in 1993, it was released in a Swedish newspaper, that Ekberg had once been a member of a band called Commit Suicide.
Very cool.
Which, first off, sang songs with explicitly racist lyrics, and evidently was a neo-Nazi band active in Gothenburg from 1983 to 1986. Which, here's the thing. The thing that people don't know, and I'm going to tell this to give him a break. He was between the ages of 13 and 16 years old whenever he was in this band. Okay?
Yeah.
He has since not only been in the band, made apologies multiple times about it, and more importantly, like, after, like, I think the tsunami and stuff like that, was super helpful in, like, raising money and helping, like, with restoration efforts and everything like that, doing a lot of really cool stuff. I forgive him, but it's just the fact that it is so buck wild to me to think that, like, just like, and it wasn't that much earlier before Ace of Base became a thing. Like, it was literally like his band ended with this thing, and pretty much Ace of Base started within like two to four years after that, of him suddenly being like, oh, I need to do some cool like pop reggae music after just having this hardcore Nazi rock.
I mean, yikes! That's a yikes for me.
So I guess I mainly say it is like, listen, it was super messed up, and it's such a crazy thing to think about. Like, wow, the main guy from Ace of Base was basically a Nazi, but he was, like I said, he was super young. I don't want to like disparage him or anything like that. Like I said, he's given apologies and everything like that, and he's done a lot of good stuff since then. So, do you have anything on his Nazihood that you wanted to touch on?
I mean, I feel like that's pretty rough. I would not want to be judged by the decisions I made from the ages of 13 to 16, but of my decisions were that severe.
Quite as racist.
Now, on the flip side, members of the band I'm representing have also not made very good decisions. For instance,
bad choices.
Gwen Stefani has left Gavin Rossdale and married Blake Shelton.
Basically the same thing.
Basically the same thing. She's, yeah, so I, you know.
We make mistakes.
Right.
And we move forward.
We ask for forgiveness. Maybe some of us deserve it less than others.
Yeah, so. Anyway, so I, like I said, it's this was a pretty short one, but I mean, it, again, it's just a song. There's not so much that I can say on a song, so I'm actually going to turn over the rest of my time to Lisa.
Before we move on to No Doubt, okay. I really want to say that one of my all-time favorite memories from the 90s was in the, I think it was the, I'm pretty sure it was the fourth grade at my school. There were the kind of like medium popular girls, whatever that means in fourth grade, the popular girls in the class decided to all, there were like five of them, and they got together and they performed The Sign, like a, they just like lip synced it, way too many girls.
Oh.
And they all wrote The Sign in like puffy glitter paint, because that was really, really popular in the 90s.
Yeah, it's huge.
They wrote it on their black shirts, and like I think maybe one of them spelled it right. One of them spelled like
S-I-N-E.
I think one was S-I-N-E. One definitely had an S-I, like S-I-G-H-N.
H-N?
I do distinctly remember being like, you dumb bitch. like you're the fourth grade.
What age was this? Oh, fourth
grade.
Okay.
So that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the hell age that is. This came out, what, 94?
Yeah.
94? So nine? Feels like
93, 94. Yeah. So yeah, I'd be eight or nine.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like you should know how to spell sign by then.
I think so.
Stop sign.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my memory.
If you're going to commit to writing something in puffy paint on a shirt, just it's a four-letter word. Just look it up.
And where were the parents?
Yeah.
To be like, oh, honey. Just,
you're about to make a grave mistake on this shirt.
Someone who will run a podcast.
Lisa Randolph is going to make fun of you.
It's going to sell you down the river on a podcast. So anyway, that's my contribution to The Sign. I, on the other hand, am flipping it, reversing it, taking you to 1996, April 15th, tax day of 1996. Ooh. Rough day, on the tax front. Great day, because No Doubt releases their single Don't Speak. And it was actually their third single from Tragic Kingdom, which is what I was talking to you about earlier. Tragic Kingdom, the name of the album. Probably one of the best fucking albums of the 90s, because you got Spiderwebs. I'm Just a Girl on that one? I'm pretty sure I'm Just a Girl on Tragic Kingdom. Of course, Don't Speak. And then I think my favorite of all, like, my favorite 90s track was either Spiderwebs or Sunday Morning by No Doubt off that album. Mm-hmm. Just a great track. Do not expect me to sing any of the lyrics tonight, because we've been singing all afternoon to try to get amped up, and I'm really sharp. And I'm not going to do it tonight. I'm really sharp. It's hilarious. But you know, No Doubt was the band with like all the cool dudes, and then Gwen Stefani. I say all the cool dudes, this is very dismissive of all the awesome members of the band, but Gwen Stefani was the lead singer. This was her, like, I guess they started off as ska. It's kind of, I guess, ska.
Yeah,
I guess more ska than anything. Certainly with the trumpets, and they were so rad. But they dropped Don't Speak, and it kind of blew up, like Titanic movie as a song blew up. And it was so. I did not know this, but Don't Speak was originally written by Gwen and her brother, Eric. So Eric Stefani, who was a former No Doubt member. Yeah, I didn't know this. And it was actually originally written as like a love song, but it got turned into a breakup track after Gwen and I hope I don't butcher his name, Tony Kanal, who was in the band. They ended a 7-year relationship. And so that's when it kind of just shifted. Oh. Can you imagine writing a song that talks about the breakup of someone that you're performing the song with
in the band with?
And it's like, ooh, awkward, but it ends up being a tremendous hit. Interestingly, the original love song version of Don't Speak was actually a little bit more upbeat. You can still hear the bones of it, but if you go to YouTube and search April 1994 Don't Speak, there's a live performance of them just in a small room. And it has, the bones are still there, but the innards have changed or were originally different. And then as time went on, Gwen morphed it into a song that was more befitting of her and her situation. Sure. So yeah, her brother Eric wrote it. She was like, yoink. And then it was like, ooh-hoo, and changed it. Now, this is interesting to me, because you were saying that The Sign was number one. Was that right? Or number two on the Billboard Billboard.
It was number one for 6 non-consecutive weeks in 94.
Okay, gotcha. So, unfortunately, I'm not exactly sure what, but it did not chart on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, as rules of eligibility required commercial singles for charting, and one was not issued for the song. I don't exactly know what that means, but that's what happened.
Like, almost like they didn't make it available, like, as a single, like for the radio and stuff like that?
I don't know. I mean, because it obviously was on the radio. It was on the radio forever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what the technicality was. I don't understand it. Someone understands. Enjoy being the person who understands. But it did, however, sit at number one of the Billboard Hot 100 Airplay list for 16 straight weeks. And it was a record that was only broken by Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls in 98.
Fair.
That was a good song. Like, it came on today and I was like, I want to skip this, but I also kind of want to hear this again.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, after 16 weeks, I think it's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
to take it down.
Right. And, of course, if you remember the video, it's super interesting, too, because it opens with... This is a very interesting video. It opens with Tony, the guy Gwen broke up with, who's also a band member, plucking an orange from a tree, and he looks at the orange and it's all rotted on the inside. This particular snippet was actually cut from VH1 videos. They were like, fuck this is too long, snap it. And but the rest of the video cuts between three different scenes. The band is performing a song in a warehouse, and then the band is taking promotional shots, and there's a lot of inner turmoil in the band, a lot of tension that you can read. And then my favorite part of the video, which is all the splicing of the live footage. And that was actually all from one performance on August 21st, 1996 in New York City, with Goldfinger, and I don't remember the other band, but it was really interesting. But actually, which makes total sense because of the way the video was, tensions were actually very high with the band, and I did not know this, but it was reported that the day before they shot the video, they were considering breaking up. Yeah, they were like, it was getting wicked out of hand. They were like, you know what? We're just going to call a wrap. And they're like, no, we're supposed to do this video for this song tomorrow. Let's do this video and we will treat it as therapy. And actually, it's a very cathartic video. Like, they really put this shit on blast.
Mm-hmm.
So, super interesting to me, but they went ahead and filmed it. And I don't know. No, it was just a massive hit. And I one of those ones that, I mean, any hit that gets that big, you're just like, I can't stand to hear this song anymore. Like, it's just, it's in your brain. It's like the lyrics are imprinted on the side of your head. I was going back and reading the lyrics, and it's terribly sad. I mean, I was not old enough yet to have heartbreak at this point, but I think I definitely dug into the well when heartbreak started bubbling up in high school and being like, I'm just going to dip back in. Take a little sip of Don't Speak and cry. just an emotional wreck of a track. But this is some hard shit. What I find so interesting is that the lyrics do work for both the tension in the band, you know, them talking about how, or, you know, I guess just difficulty with the fact that all the attention was on Gwen, and, you know, her being like, I get it, guys, like, this is a whole thing, with him being like, hey, also ex-boyfriend who's also in the band. That's some real dramatic shit. How I could not have done that. Hats off, I guess, to Gwen Stefani. Or maybe that's just a bad decision.
When the money is good enough, there's everybody's like, you know what? I think I'll stick around.
I guess. Well, yeah, they can see the train or the train leaving the station, like, this is a good train, keep your seat.
Yeah.
I don't even know if all of them stayed in until the end of No Doubt. I feel like most of them did, hopefully. I don't know.
I see Eric Stefani listed here as the piano and keyboards.
Was he?
In addition to writing a lot of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of looking through, they got a lot on this page.
Yeah. But this is just like the perfect 90s heartbreak track, because you're bummed out. Gwen Stefani is so fucking cool in all the other videos. And then here she's really being vulnerable. And the guys are actually, you don't see a lot of guy versus girl tension that isn't sexual, that is more like, I'm mm-hmm. actually mad at you. It's like, I haven't seen a whole lot of that even now in music videos, but it was fucking good. I don't know. No Doubt. Oh, that was what I was going to tell you, though. There was a note I wanted to make. No Doubt was, Don't Speak was ultimately placed at number one on the Hot 100 Airplay year-end chart of 97. So it was the number one
mm-hmm.
played track of 97.
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and I was kind of looking through their stats for, like, the like all-time and stuff like that, mm-hmm. too. It's, like, number 67 all-time for that album. Number 21 for albums featuring women. I don't know why that's a separate list, yeah. but they have a separate one. And then 22 for the number 22 album for the decade.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Wow. I kind of figured Charge of Kingdom would not be higher, but wow.
I was going to say, we're not discussing the albums mm-hmm. necessarily, but like think about how many albums from so many rock bands that came out in the 90s and everything too. And I mean, in addition yeah. to like just probably some really dumb like Alanis Morissette and stuff.
Yeah. Like that. Wait, do you have that list still open? Is number
of what? No, I don't think I have the list up here. I was just saying.
I was just curious to see what number one. I'm pretty sure it's Nirvana, but I'd love to know what it actually is.
Oh, like Nevermind or something like that. I don't see. They don't have it. I'm on the Facebook page, but
sure. Interesting. Well,
yeah.
But yeah, it was.
Anyways, I just thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So I don't know, The Sign versus Don't Speak. Which one?
Yeah.
Gave you more feel. Oh, I'm actually probably not even. Well, I mean, because The Sign didn't give me any feels. It was just a good song. It was just a good song.
If yeah, you happy feels.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be emo and emotional. It's true.
I mean, you say that, but I don't believe you. You're probably right.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah. Especially as a kid, I didn't have emotions, and so I just listened to.
Well, you gotta go get
him. I'm broken.
You gotta go get him 3 or 4 years down the road and be like. Do you have any leftover Don't Speak in the back of the fridge? And you do, and you eat it, and it makes you so sick.
So sick. You're like, oh, why did I leave this here?
Why did I eat a quart of Don't Speak?
Oh, God. It was Drink It, by the way. I drank a quart of Don't Speak.
After today. About 4 years, it gets chunky. You eat it. So, anyway.
Mistakes were made.
For
mistakes
sure.
Were made.
I rest my case.
We rest our cases. So. So anyways, I seriously need a gastrointestinal break just to like be able to breathe, stand
sure.
up and breathe.
Yeah. Take a jaunt. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and, by the way, so we're going to be taking a break here, but we are going to have another promo here for another podcast from, that we know here from Twitter. We have their promo for Three Fat Nerds podcast. I am a fat nerd, so I greatly appreciate that and look forward to hearing their promo. So we'll catch you all back after the break.
Adios.
What's up, nerds? This is Rich, the host of the Three Fat Nerds podcast. I would like to invite you to check out our podcast. We have two shows every week, and both of our shows are about everything that is pop culture and nerddom. That's right, we talk about movies, we talk about comics, we talk about video games, we talk about role-playing games, we talk about Dungeons and Dragons, and so much more. You can find us anywhere you get podcasts just by searching Three Fat Nerds. Also, while you're at it, go ahead and like our page on Facebook, Three Fat Nerds Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Three Fat Nerds Pod. And of course, you can check out our website, 8122productions.com. Most importantly, I hope you enjoy the show. With that being said, there's only one thing left to say. That's later, nerds.
Welcome back, everyone, from the break.
Heyo.
It's me. It's me, Andy.
I'm still here, I suppose.
I'm always going to be here for you. Lisa, I think she will be too. Here at 90s Court, we just wanted to say, we love biscuits. And this is also part of the ad break. Sorry. I don't know what that was.
Biscuits? Okay.
We love biscuits.
I mean, I do like carbs. And maybe not biscuit
similar,
format. I'm more of a waffle lady.
Yeah. At this exact moment, if I ate a biscuit, it would come out of my mouth immediately because the idea of putting calories into me right now seems terrible.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm sure all the listeners are like, I wonder what Andy's calorie count's at today. It's at 400,000. So
level catastrophic. Yeah.
Just about to just explode.
Yeah.
So hey everybody, guess what?
What'd it do?
As usual, once that fun anchor ad ends, you know what that means. It's time to find out How things happened last week? How'd things go?
That's the most disgusting. I don't remember the percentages, but can I go ahead and just spoil it? That I fucking broke my streak of losing. I did it, you guys. Lisa,
it's been a solid month and a half, at least.
I've had my ass handed to me week after week after week, and thank you guys. After this women's retreat, let me tell you, I could use a win.
So empowered.
I could use a win right now. So thank you for that. I'll take it.
Two full moons have passed since Lisa's last victory.
Don't just say it like that. Oh my gosh.
So,
holy shit.
Anyways, so to go over the polls.
Yeah, let's be more specific.
I will say these were very hard fought, and it was almost the exact same story in both of them. Is that they were super, like they were sitting at 50% for both for so long on both polls, but then like finally reason came through, and they were like, wait a second. Spencer's is just a really problematic store. We shouldn't vote for that.
Yeah, it's just. I told my husband the story like you were telling, because he doesn't have time to listen to podcasts, unfortunately. But I relay everything to him. Mm. I told him about him being shot down in World War II, and he was like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah, I know. You learn something new every episode."
Yeah,
I do.
Dude started in 1947.
Yeah.
So, the polls came out. Facebook, 54% to 46%.
Yeah.
Respectable. And Twitter, very similar, 53% to 47%.
Okay, so it wasn't like a landslide win.
No, it was not. No. Here's what I think, is I think we've been doing very good at picking two things that are very equally matched.
Right.
And I would say is that what we lack in actual knowledge of the things, we gain in the ability to pick two things that are very evenly matched, because at least as of late we have, I think all of them pretty much, at least the past like four or five episodes, have all been within like 10 to 15%.
Yeah.
Either way, so
the last big ass beating was that Edward Scissorhands. That was like, really? That far
is bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Is a big defeat. Crushing.
Yeah, I
blow.
Forgot about that one.
Yeah, anyway,
so
super fun. Well, yeah, Hot Topic one. Yes. So go get your super cool My Chemical Romance shirts, ladies and gentlemen.
The big message is, it's funny when I was about to say, like, the big message is support your local malls. And I'm like, what? Like, there's nothing local about your mall. Like, when you're having to support a fucking, like, giant Megatron of a business like that that still can't make it in today's society, it's not, things aren't going great.
Right. It's kind of dying. It was enjoyable regardless, so meh.
So, Lisa, did you have something little side dish?
Oh, I forgot
I
go first. You're right. Pay attention to the show notes. Yes, I wanted to revisit something that I asked on Facebook about 3 weeks ago and have forgotten to bring up week after week. I'm on it tonight. Mm. I'm talking about this. And I posted to Facebook one day after kind of, I don't remember what prompted it, but it was just like, hey, songs of the 90s, like not everyone is our age.
Are you okay?
Yeah, like
are we okay?
Yeah, kids of the night, like not everyone was a kid in the 90s, but I would say the majority of our listeners are about our age, you know, or were of similar age, and so can relate to the fact that any song you were listening to in the 90s and were singing like in the car, I don't know if I'm not the only one who sat in the car while their mom went into the grocery store and like pulled the vanity down in the front seat and was like singing Mariah Carey and shit, you know, to herself and the, you know, like no one else could ever see you. But when you were doing that, you were singing songs that you didn't really yet understand the context of. And so I asked the Facebook group to tell me, hey, yo, we've grown up. What songs had lyrics that you sang that now you're like, oh no. And I wanted to share some. I wanted to share some from the group. So people chimed in, and it was super interesting. And the first one that I saw in the feed was someone pointing out the Macarena, which we covered already. Los del Rio. Sorry. She pointed out that she was like, yeah, the song is cute and fun and flirty, but are you paying attention to the fact that the lyrics are saying like, yeah, my boyfriend's out of town, so I cheated on him with two of his friends. And I don't necessarily mean, I don't know if that necessarily means that it was like at the same time, but it's just like, yo, ho, 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 whoa, 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 what a weekend you had on your hands. And it's like, yeah, that one's like really minor compared to some of the other shit that came up. So for instance, mm-hmm. Usher's Nice and Slow. That's like, I definitely.
I mean, that's the name of it right away. It's like, oh.
Yeah, probably not. But just to pick. Just to bring it back home, if you were in the fifth or sixth grade when the song came out, you were walking around singing, I got plans to put my hands in places I never seen, girl. You know what I mean. It's what? Like, I don't know what you mean, but I'm going to sing this lyric anyway. And then, I'll freak you right, I will. I'll freak you right, I will. I'll freak you like no one has ever, ever made you feel. Ooh.
Like, the fact that they said, I freak you too, also and freak like. You.
Yeah.
And the kids were like, oh, this is okay because it's not a curse word. Oh, my God.
Yeah, whereas now the lyrics, well, I don't have to get quite so graphic, but the lyrics in 2019 are much more graphic than that. Yeah. But someone pointed out The Dip by Freak Nasty, which is, I put my hand up on your hip when I dip, you dip, we dip. Like, you put yours, and I put mine. We can dip down low and roll it around. It's like, that's not the worst, but it's like,
ambiguous.
It is. But I'm going to take you to one that I remembered when a friend pointed that out, and that was Too Close by a band called Next. And the girl, there was like a man and woman kind of duet situation, but it was like the girl would come in and be like, step back, you're dancing kind of close. I feel a little poke coming through on you. Ooh,
God, no.
Do you not know Why? These tracks?
No, I've got like nothing
okay,
on me.
Well,
sorry.
I know these tracks. I sang these tracks. And I remember being like, I think I maybe vaguely understood the gist of what was being suggested there, but did not understand until much later. But then later on in the song, he's like, baby, when we're grinding, I get so excited. Ooh, how I like it. I try, but I can't fight it. Oh, you're dancing real close. Plus, it's real, real slow. You're making it hard for me. Oh, I just want to bury myself. It's so bad, Andy. Do you want to go back to the 90s and relive this with me?
You know what? I don't know if I can handle it. Like, going back, knowing what I know now, experiencing that now
it just,
would
but,
be a nightmare.
Like, well, the whole, oh, that's what brought it up. I remember distinctly that
it was Incubus. We were talking about how it feels to be inside of
yes,
you.
Yes, and that reminded me that my mother had a tape of Color Me Bad,
Sex You Up.
And I remember hanging out in the kitchen, dance along with my mom singing I Want to Sex You Up and not having a clue. But now as an adult, it's like, I'm sorry.
What?
Like, what was happening
what?
There? But my now, sadly, unfortunately, I couldn't bring myself to share any of the lyrics of this one because it was so rough. But there was an artist, Lil Kim, that your old co-host and friend of the show chimed in and said that
Mary.
She knew every single lyric to a track called Big Mama Thing, which I actually did not know. And I've listened to the song as much as I could get through, and I read the lyrics, and I was like, listen, guys, if you want to look up the lyrics to Big Mama Thing, a good listener of the show, Mary, can throw down the lyrics, like, almost as well as Lil' Kim can. Probably better at this point, but, like, I can't say them back. Like, even as an adult,
yeah.
I've had three kids.
You can't even say them now?
Like, I was like, oh, I can say some of this. It's like, I can't. Like, I nope, it's a wrap on that one. But I just
so Google it.
Google Big Mama Thing, and then just imagine a lovely woman named Mary from Illinois rapping this shit at your face. I really.
You can also quick subscribe and listen to some episodes of Mary and Andy Aren't Good at This, my old podcast
that is
amazing as
did
well.
Did she ever sing it? Because I think you guys need to bring back one minor bonus episode for her to rap
just
it.
For that. She got a. I think part of the reason too that we disbanded was because she is working with children now and was like, I don't know if having such an explicit show is probably a great choice for having with a lot of kids and parents and stuff.
I mean,
like
go
that
out
involved,
with a bang,
so.
Mary. Go out with a big mama thing, Mary. So, but listen, I love this particular topic. To me, it's very interesting. I think most generations would know this too. Like, maybe you didn't know the lyrics to Mississippi Queen and understand what that was about. And then you hear it later on, you're like, but that wasn't a 90s track at all. Mississippi Queen is fucking awesome.
Mississippi Queen. You know what I mean.
You know what I mean. I don't. I wasn't born yet.
I don't. Please elaborate.
I don't have the context for this, for I am an embryo.
Show me everything.
But anyway, hit us up forever on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or Gmail about this, because this is interesting to me. Like, I want to hear what tracks of and songs you were like, I shouldn't have been singing that in the car while my mom was in Walmart. I shouldn't have been.
Yeah, hit up. And here's another thing, guys. Like, I run the 90s court page. Hit up Lisa, because like on Twitter, because she loves getting messages too.
It's true.
So
at Lisa Randolph, even though this is a tough one, even though my handle is at Lisa Randolph with a PHRANDOLPH, because that's a maiden name, and someone else took Monahan, and then someone else took my other handle. Right. I was like, fuck it, I'm Lisa Randolph forever.
Forever
on Twitter at least. So. But I'm there, and I like feedback. I'm a person too.
You've been getting blown. I've been noticing you've been getting blown up, like as far as like requests from all the other podcasters, everything like that. Like I looked through your list, I'm like, man, you got a lot of
people.
A lot of
people
mutual followers
the weird
now.
Random mean shit I say on Twitter. I said that Twitter is where. So like Facebook,
no
Facebook is where I'm like, this is my Christmas card. Instagram is like, posting memes back, and Twitter's like me taking the bra off of life and being like, all right boys, let me tell you how it is, like. And that's what Twitter is for me. So if you want to hear the worst of the worst, that's where it is. Or don't save yourself, please.
Or don't save yourself.
But that's a wrap on my thing. And Andy, I want to hear what you have up your sleeve. I really want to hear this.
So here's the thing. So I told Lisa, I was like, I don't know how long I can talk about this thing, but like I occasionally, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say this. This is a 90s Buckwild product.
Oh, I haven't had one of those in a while.
It's been a hot minute. Yeah. A tasty 90s Buckwild product. That is also like, it's technically, so it's been around, I guess, since like, it came out in the 70s, but like nobody knew about it at all. Like it's even decidedly, it was 100% popularized in the 90s, like 100%.
Okay. But came out
there
in
was
the
another
70s. Okay.
Basically another brand bought it. And then, like, commercialized it. There were tons of commercials for it and everything like that.
Okay.
Had a very catchy song that some people remember. And it makes sense that it came out in the 70s because, like, and I only say the 70s because I'm like, this, I guess the toy still kind of exists, like, or has existed in recent memory, like, in the 2000s and stuff, too. But, like, I think it was 1997 is whenever this came, basically. It was bought by Big Time Toys.
Okay.
And they asked the question, what if you're a kid?
Okay. I am.
And you have other kids that you're friends with.
Not true.
And you want to beat the fucking shit out of them, but have it be a game.
Okay. Are we talking about Sock'em Buffers or Rock'em Sock'em Robots? Or neither.
We are talking about Sock'em Boppers. Sock'em Boppers, Sock'em Boppers, more fun than
a pillow fight.
Yeah. See, oh my God. See, that's what I'm saying. We both know the words to this stupid fucking thing that is literally like, okay. So for those of you who do not know what a Sock'em Bopper is, which look it up. It's great. So basically it's
so good.
A pretty wide circle. I'm doing things with my hands so you can see it on this great Twitter, on this great podcast. So there's a hole in the middle where you put your fist. Ooh. And so you just have two of them, and it's literally like, hey, these are just shitty boxing gloves
that your parent has to inhale because your stupid child mouth doesn't know how to inflate anything yet.
You don't,
dumb piece of crap child.
Especially, you ever notice like inflatable things that are like small? Like when it's big, it's like easy to fill up. But like when it's something smaller, like you know how it has like multiple compartments, and like one compartment, like the smaller one, it's like super hard to fill.
You gotta bite the little thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just blowing air back into your face. There are a lot of tricks.
Exactly.
This.
So this came out in the 90s. Like I said, there's not a ton on this one, but basically, like. I remember, like, when I got these, like, it's one of those things where it's like, do you know airsoft guns?
Airsoft guns?
What those are? Yeah, airsoft guns.
I don't think
guns.
I do actually. Huh?
They're like it's probably been around for a while and they still have them obviously, but it's like basically these little plastic beads. It's like a shitty BB gun like with plastic beads. And so kids would buy them and it's one of those things where like it's cool cuz it's like a really lifelike gun or whatever, like which is also problematic. But like they'd shoot just these little plastic pellets at people.
Okay.
And it's one of those things that, like, as a kid at least, like when I was in my teens, when I got one of those, for example, I thought, hey, this is really cool, until you realize, like, nobody wants to get shot with this thing. Like, you know, and I'm not an asshole, so I'm not going to shoot people who are then just in turn going to shoot me back or beat the shit out of me. And Sock and Boppers, I found, was very similar, because most of the people who I would want to play with Sock and Boppers with were a lot stronger than I was. Like my older brothers or like my friends who were also considerably stronger than me. Like I'm a big guy, but like I'm not exact. I was never like, you know, as a kid, like super like jacked or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So usually it involves punching people. And then in the end, just being like, stop. Because frankly, like these were not cushioned enough. This wasn't like beach balls on your fist.
No.
It was like the around the side part was very thick, but the part beyond your fist was not that thick, so there wasn't really that much cushion. So it was just basically beating the shit out of your punching your friends, and then your parents look and they're like, oh, look, they're having fun.
Or brothers.
You know, so it's not, yeah, or brothers. Ugh. And, well, but brothers, like, I mean, I would get the shit kicked out of me normally anyways. Like, that's just part of life,
yeah.
At least when I was younger. But yeah, like this was just, I looked up because I was scrolling through this list of like crazy, like I've always looked through this of like for Buckwild products online to like look for different things from the 90s. And like, I will say that they did get, they did have to change their name legally to Soccer Boppers.
What? They're not Soccer Boppers?
In like 2000. No, they're not. Boppers. That's why I was confused. I kept looking it up and apparently they're literally like you can't look it up under Sock and Boppers. It'll pull up Soccer Boppers and you can't find anything that says Sock and Boppers except it'll say Soccer Boppers, formerly Sock and Boppers, because in 2002 Mattel sued Big Time Toys for, this is really a small amount of money and all things considered, $1 million for trademark infringement over the use of Sock and Boppers, claiming that the name infringed on the name of their toy Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Which is funny that you brought up both of those things at the same time.
Yeah, that just goes to show that they were onto something there. Yeah.
Yeah, so, let's see. So, other fun fact. So Nintendo considered at one point purchasing Sock and Boppers with the intention of printing their franchise's characters on them to boost sales. So apparently they were going to buy them out and buy the thing, but then I guess that Big Time Toy basically was saying, like, asking for too much money for them to buy it out or something like that. Big Time Toys eventually made spin-offs of these things, such as Sock'em Swords, Sock'em Shields, and Sock'em Screamers, which basically is the beginning of, what's that thing called? LARPing, it sounds like to me. Like, Sock'em Swords and Sock'em Shields sounds to me like just LARPing, like early LARPing for kids.
I love LARPing. I've never done it, but it's,
yeah.
There's,
at least the way it shows it in that one movie, like, looks so epic.
Are you talking about the documentary?
Role Models? No, I was thinking about the movie Role Models, which is like a Paul Rudd movie and some other people. And the
Darkon. I'm thinking of the movie Darkon.
Gotcha.
That's amazing. If anyone has seen Darkon, the documentary, it's amazing. If you haven't, go see it. It's amazing. Or go find it. It's amazing.
Yeah. So the last thing I did want to say was, in addition to being more fun than a pillow fight, the last line of this little thing I have here says, in the end, the boppers were more painful than a pillow fight, too.
Here's the thing. No matter what, in any situation like this, you're not like, let's play with our sock and boppers or have a pillow fight until one of us is, or until both of us are completely satisfied, no one has been injured, and all is well. It never ends that way. It's not like,
Yeah.
It's like, no, someone busted their face against the wall. Someone got punched through the sock and bopper fist hole. Someone knocked a light bulb out of the ceiling fan with a pillow. It's like nothing ever ever ends well in this department. No, this never ends peacefully. It's always, melee. So
yeah, and these kids in this picture look so ecstatic to be playing, and like, and it's like these two like kids that are probably like 8 or something like that, and then this girl that's probably like 5, like 6 or something like that, like with them, and I'm like, this seems like a dangerous photo, right? Like, with these kids,
right? No, this is that what they're not showing is 3 minutes in the future where someone's doing the like the really long, not breathing cry, and someone's like, shh,
one of them's yelling for their mom,
like, oh. Yeah. Never.
I would be yelling for mom immediately.
Yeah.
Over a toy that I purchased. Like, hey, we're doing the concept of this game, and I'm calling my mom on you.
Yeah.
For playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. So that's my thing. I just wanted to bring Sock and Boppers because it's
amazing.
Soccer Boppers.
People are going to think I have a stroke if I start talking about Soccer Boppers.
Soccer Boppers.
But it's not soccer. It's your hands.
Yeah, it's soccer. It's S-O-C-K-E-R. Somehow it's worse. They're just like, you made up a word.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the end of my thing. So
painful ass Buckwell product. Man, we're digging deep into some memories this episode. Jeez.
Yes. So anyway, I think that's gonna do it for us this week. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we go, before we do the where to find us, I did want to say. You asked for a debriefing on Bart's Nightmare.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah. How was it?
Brought up last week. It is unfathomably difficult.
Really?
unfathomably hard game. So here's the thing. So I got it. I plugged in and I was excited that night. And I had it on like, and it was working. But apparently my controllers, like, I don't know when it happened, but one of them always worked and the other one was kind of busted.
Right.
But evidently, the other one's not working either. So I bought 2 new controllers that night, and they came in the mail the next night. So I had them that next night, and I was playing it. And I played it. I think I played, like, I died 8 times or, you know, like, woke up. I got 8 Fs.
Oh, my gosh.
Fs. And here's the thing. It's a weird game. Like, it shows like the beginning of it, like if you just don't do anything and you just turn the game on and do nothing, it'll go through like the like thing of like him sitting at the lying in his head on the papers and everything like that and going to sleep, and then him, you know, going out the window to the thing where he's circling with the papers. But yeah, then you hit start and all of a sudden it brings you into the game. Like, it's weird because there's no like press start or anything like that. You're just like, you press start and all of a sudden you're like, oh, game started. Oh, like
it's just weird. I love when they don't fuck around with a ton of dialogue. Yeah. They just get into it. Yeah.
But, I did not remember how insanely difficult that game was, and I'm glad that I'm not the only one, because everybody who I even, like, I posted about it, like, on Facebook and Twitter, and everybody, without prompting, said that game is so extremely difficult, and I'm glad I am not alone in that. So.
Well, I like how games from the early eras were, like, they were just extremely punishing, you know? Like, they didn't cushion it. They didn't walk you through some shit. They were like, no, we're going to drag you through the trenches, and you will do your best. And you will fail. Yeah,
so, and you will fail. This is the important part. Teach you a lot of life lessons.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that was my my recap of Bart's Nightmare. It's insanely hard. There so, is. Where to find us? Where to find us?
You want me to go? You want me to do it?
I'll take
you
it.
You do it.
I'm
Wrap
taking
it, up,
it
Andy.
From here.
Wrap it like a Polaroid picture.
Wrap it like... That's not a sentence, Dave.
Damn it.
That's not
you
a
know,
thing.
I believe in me.
Wrap it like a Polaroid.
Wrap it like a Christmas present.
Okay. I can't. I keep getting derailed every time.
I'll shut up.
Where to find us? Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court. To get great content like this all the time.
All day.
Instagram at 90s.court. You can hit us up on any podcasting platform. Stitcher has been blowing up lately. Like, I don't know, like, apparently people have been blowing up Stitcher with us, because like, it used to be Apple Podcasts was always the number one place, and we've got a lot of Apple listens too. They've always been our number one, but Stitcher's been moving up the ranks as they've overtaken Apple Podcasts and listened in the
fuck
past
you,
week
Apple
so
Podcasts.
Thank you to our Stitcher.
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe not.
Cool
maybe not.
Thing
fuck
to
you,
say
Apple.
On our podcast.
Yeah, I was like, don't say that. Actually,
cool thing
I love
say.
You, Apple Podcasts. You are the best. I love you forever.
Yeah.
Review.
Yeah, and And thank you guys. Like, I know we got some reviews from the contest and everything like that, but before we ever did that, I mean, a lot of the people who entered the contest were people who had already entered in reviews and everything too. So you all are super awesome. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review, not because there's a contest, but just because it helps us get seen by other people.
And it makes us smile.
We love you so much. It makes me smile so much when there's a surprise. I actually had the experience, I was just thinking, like, this, I'm sure it's happened before, but, like, today I just, like, you know, like, we open the Anchor app and it shows, like, how many listens we have and everything, and it updates real time. So, like, I opened it up and it was, like, you know, it had one number and all of a sudden it just went bink and went up to, like, one more. And I'm like, I wonder who's listening. I wonder who that is. You know, it's just, like, it's one of those things you're like, I wonder who is listening to me and Lisa's voice right now talk about absolute fucking nonsense.
Hey, like, you know what? We have a good time. I fucking love making the show. So hopefully that comes through as well.
Come on, sugar. We got some fresh baked podcast for you today. Okay, is that enough?
That was good. That was good. I love this episode. This was a good one. So, well, it was a real treat, Andy. Thank you for we should preface. There will be a week gap. We are going to take we're taking a 1 week gap. So my husband is a game developer. Yay. He made a video game called Brigador, and every November his entire team descends upon our home. And I am going to have an entire house full of people next Sunday and 4 adult men eating the Wi-Fi like a little pie. Just consuming just it like it a turkey like pie. Crazy. Turkey pie? Anyway. They're going to be consuming the Wi-Fi. I will not have access to internet, I'm pretty sure. So we're going to give ourselves, Andy and I are going to just a little break. So in 2 weeks from now, you'll get a new episode. And it's going to be a baller.
And like I said, if we have, there's one episode of Misery Love Garlic Bread featuring me. There's the episode of Coffin Cast that's supposed, you know, possibly coming out later this week that'll feature both of us. So we'll definitely keep you all apprised of those two. So you can still get a little dosage of Lisa and Andy in the meantime while you wait. So
awesome.
Anyways, it is time to leave you all again. We love you all so much and we will catch you next week.
Adios. Have a good week, everyone. See you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Keep it radical. Bye.